Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, always sharing the success of entrepreneurship. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm always kind of anticipating serious content when we have Greg Stoller in the studio, professor of international business at Boston College. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you. Good evening, Jeffrey. It's nice to be back.
That's good. You you know, what time zone are you on right now?
Well, that's the thing. It's 为了下个星期我正在准备到中国去。
Well, okay, that's not a time zone I know.
That is meaning that in preparation for next week, I am in the process of preparing to go to China.
You're going to go to China over the holidays?
After the holidays. We are leaving on January 4th, and we are going to be in China for a week. This is the wrap-up of 6 months of hard work by 14 MBA and law students in Boston College's graduate business and law schools.
Interesting. Well, so what's going on now? What's the hot story?
The hot story in China, unfortunately, seems to be pollution. I've heard from a number of people that there's a lot of haze that is going over the city. It's just becoming something that is a certainty these days as opposed to, unfortunately, an aberration. And it's tough to watch. It's tough to read about. And I really had hoped that a lot of the measures, the precautionary measures, the manufacturing changes, were going to ameliorate the situation. But it's just the nature of the beast, it seems.
Interesting. So how does that affect, you know, current business or entrepreneurs here locally at home?
You know, it really depends on what your perspective is. First of all, when you're there, for some people, they literally can't go outside for more than 10 minutes. For other people, it's a situation that doesn't really affect them at all while they're sort of in the moment. For businesses here, I think it's one more area of concern and one more area that you have to consider and deal with when it comes to doing business with the People's Republic, in the sense that it might be a shipping cost issue, it might be a manufacturing issue, now it might be a delay due to weather-related issues or pollution-related issues. It's just, as I said, we've talked on this broadcast so many times, Jeffrey, that international business takes twice as long and costs three times as much. That's not something that I've made up. It's just the reality of doing business internationally. And to circle back to your question of how does it affect people at home, it's just one more, I wouldn't call it an obstacle, but challenge to doing business outside of your home city or state, let alone now country.
Interesting. So did you get involved with any of these things?
Fortunately, I have not. But I will tell you that it's always something that's going on. This year has been relatively smooth, but in the past we've had to deal with flight delays, which isn't any big deal, but when you're only going on a business trip for a week, it obviously is chewing up any available time that you might have. We've dealt with cultural issues. We've dealt with clients not being satisfied. For this go-around, things seem to be going vis-a-vis Boston College pretty smoothly, but the bigger concern is how China's going to fare economically in 2014, and that's definitely going to affect businesses here in the Bay State, et cetera.
So let's bring it home. What's going on now with the students?
The students are excited. The students have started their research on June 1st. We had two practice sessions last week. We went through what they're going to say, how they're going to analytically conclude their work and position their work. We did 2 3-hour practice sessions. The students put copious speaker's notes with these slides to overcome the language gap. And now we are shifting. We were almost officially 100% in presentation mode and work mode. I think very gradually the students are now shifting to, oh my, our work's done. Now we're actually going into Beijing. It's time to start packing our bags. It's time to start reading the other parts of my email saying, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that, etc. But this group of students has also suggested we might want to have a pre-trip dinner or lunch in Boston before we all get together. It really, there's some terrific esprit de corps that I'm hearing in the students this year.
So have you seen any stars like you had last year that won the Mass Challenge?
We have some exceptionally good students this year. As you know, Jeffrey, being in the consulting business, you can sense it 20 miles away. Now, if a student understands client service, if a student understands analytical positioning, if the student understands it's not just memorize and regurgitate, that you really are trying to add value to a client, and I've got a good 4 or 5 of them out of a team of 14 this year, and I'm very fortunate to have them.
That's a good ratio. So, you know, the whole concept of schools are very competitive too right now, and it seems like Boston College has been doing very well.
We are very fortunate that we, in terms of the MBA, our rankings, we've been doing exceptionally well. The quality of our students is clearly improving. And, you know, you read the same newspapers I do that law school graduates are having difficulty. There was an article recently published in the Wall Street Journal about the market for MBAs. One way or another, Boston College is not only holding its own, but also doing exceptionally well.
Well, that's important because why go to graduate school unless you're going to get a job?
Well, but it's not just a matter of getting a job. I think people forget that for the 2 years you're there in a full-time program, and this isn't necessarily endemic to BC, or the 4 years that you're there in a evening program, it's not just a matter of getting the piece of paper. You're actually hopefully going to learn something in the process, and it's nice to know that the students are getting a lot out of it, et cetera.
So do you ever do trips to Russia as well? I know the Olympics are coming now.
No, it's funny. We have experimented over the years doing variants of these trips to Europe, Latin America, etc. I would love to get to Russia. You're the third person this week who's mentioned something happening in Russia, whether it be St. Petersburg, whether Moscow, of course, the Olympics coming up in Sochi. It's just a really exciting country.
Well, you know, I have to ask you, and maybe this goes beyond your scope, you know, the whole thing with the Russian Olympics and, let's say, graft and patronage, it's a big deal here in this country, you know, the issue about gays and gay rights. Are these things at all an issue in China? They're their neighbors.
You know, I think that the situation for me is if you view these countries from the inside out, a lot of these beliefs make sense within the confines of that country. The problem is when you try and transcend national boundaries, or when you take the media, and this is nothing against the U.S. media. I think every country's media is going to be biased. You know, it's rare that a media organization is always going to be consistently in the middle. They're sometimes going to be the left. They're sometimes going to be on the right, etc. Maybe, you know, a little bit of the time they're going to be centrist, but it makes sense within the Chinese culture that belief A or belief B is strongly supported or refuted compared with what would be happening in another country. The problem is that the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which has gained a lot of steam and should gain a lot of steam in the U.S., is just not the way that business is necessarily practiced worldwide. And that, to me, is the challenge, is how do you sort of run the gamut? How do you walk that fine line of saying, as a U.S. citizen, I can't do this, but as an XYZ citizen, this is the way that you do something, and if you don't do it in XYZ country, you're not going to get the deal done. So what's the lesser of two evils? Not getting the deal done in that culture because you're not doing business the way that they're doing it, or not being worried about getting hauled off to jail being an American citizen. It's really, really hard.
Well, again, maybe you answered your question, and I'm just missing it. I mean, I don't know how integrated the Chinese are into the Russian economy. I know the Chinese in the American economy are quite
right.
Integrated. But I'm wondering, have you ever heard any opinions that the Chinese have about the Russians and the way that Russians conduct themselves?
I think that to an extent, and this is just a personal opinion, it's not necessarily an opinion that is reflective of Boston College or officially vetted, but I think that to an extent, mainland China and Russia are somewhat kindred spirits because for so long they were sort of the last bastions of communism. And this is well before the USSR became the CIS, the Commonwealth of Independent States. You know, you think about it, Cuba, North Korea, China, and Russia, those are really the last four areas of communism. And China has continued in that mold. In that model, I should say. Cuba is trying to reform itself. North Korea is trying to reform itself. And Russia has reformed itself. But I think that there is still a belief that things aren't so bad if you do business with Russia because there's so much of military equipment in China that sort of has Russian origins, et cetera.
Interesting. So your students, do they come? Are they mostly from the United States or are they from all over the world?
Every trip is different. This particular group of students, we have all but one of them being American. The one who isn't American, ironically, is a Chinese national, which is terrific to have one of those types of students on the team because it just helps with translation and bicultural issues, etc. But In the past, I've had a lot of Canadian students. I've had a lot of Latin American students. I've had my share of Indian students or European students. That's just the magic of working with a university, is it becomes, in many ways, even through a business lens, a mini United Nations. It's really terrific.
Very nice. So do you have any your own sense of your outlook for the new year?
I am very hopeful that the U.S. continues its torrid pace of growth. If you mention torrid as defined by the Dow Jones and the S&P and the NASDAQ, et cetera. But I really hope that Europe, as well as China, are able to figure it out faster than the news publications or the pundits are indicating. I know that these two regions of the world are going to figure it out. I mean, China is the world's second largest economy. In my opinion, it's only a matter of time. I always have felt a nice sort of kinship with Europe because culturally the U.S. and the Europe are relatively similar to each other, probably more so than it would be to the United States and the Asian country. And Europe has just been not down, but has been sort of lackluster in terms of its performance for so long. I'm hoping that 2014 is the year of the European revival.
Well, that would be interesting with Europe. I think it's easier with China because it's more of a centralized planning system. But with Europe, there's more history involved, and there's a lot of different agendas across Europe. So
that's the pith of the debate, right? Is, does central planning really beget success on a permanent basis?
Well, against Europe, it might. I don't know against the United States.
I think that's right. I would take
three different team philosophies.
Exactly. And I would also look at the Chinese model a little bit differently, and I'm the first to admit I'm biased because I've been traveling over there since 1991, but so much of China is based on an export market approach. And with Europe down and with the United States down, that never appeared in anybody's financial models or sensitivity analysis. China's moving aggressively towards increasing domestic consumption. And I think that it could be a bimodal approach, that if the United States and Europe, in terms of their buying power, revives itself and dramatically increases, that's going to solve a portion of China's woes. On the other hand, if the Chinese domestic consumption is also able to dramatically improve itself, that could very much ameliorate the second half of China's woes.
Great. Greg, if somebody wants to contact you, how would they do that?
They could do so, please, at my Boston College contact information. My BC email address is gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu, gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu.
Oh, boy. Or just contact me because I'll make it easier for you.
And by the way, before we sign off, just a best wishes, Jeffrey, for a safe, happy, and enjoyable new year for you and your family. And, of course, all of our listeners here at Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you. And the same to you, Greg. It's a pleasure working with you.
Same here.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back on Radio Entrepreneurs.